Vaidurya Krita.
Vaidurya Krita.
Made of Vaidurya.
Made of Vaidurya.
Sopana.
Sopana.
Staircases.
Staircases.
Vapyaha. Lakes.
Lakes.
Utpala.
Utpala.
Of lotus flowers.
Of lotus flowers.
Maalinihi.
Containing rose.
Raptam. Inhabited. Kim Purushai. By the Kim Purushas. Drishtva. After seeing. Te.
Those demigods.
Arat.
Not far away.
Dadrishuhu.
Saw.
Batam. A banyan tree. Translation. There's two verses with no purport, and then a verse with purport. So here's text 31, translation. They also saw that the bathing ghats and their staircases were made of Vaidurya money. The water was full of lotus flowers. Passing by such lakes, the demigods reached a place where there was a great banyan tree. Will you hear how great this banyan tree is? Text 32. That banyan tree was 800 miles high. And its branches spread over 600 miles wide. How big is Houston, Texas? How? 600 miles? What's the difference between the branches spread that wide? Like, what's the distance between here and Dallas?
More than that.
That's only 250 miles.
The whole of Texas.
Close to the whole of Texas. That's wide. 800 miles tall. All around. The tree cast a fine shade which permanently cooled the temperature. Yet there was no noise of birds. Short statement, Prabhupada says, generally, in every tree, there are bird nests. And the birds congregate in the evening and create noise. But it appears that this banyan tree was devoid of nests, and therefore it was calm, quiet, and peaceful. There were no disturbances from noise or heat, and therefore this place was just suitable for meditation. Text 33. The demigods saw Lord Shiva sitting under that tree, the tree was competent to give perfection to mystic yogis and deliver all people, as grave as eternal time. Lord Shiva appeared to have given up all anger. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word maha yogamaye, tasmin maha yogamaye. So under that tree was this maha yogamaye. Yoga means meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and maha yoga means those who engage in the devotional service of Vishnu. Meditation means remembering. Smaranam. We were hearing about smara yesterday. There are 9 different kinds of devotional service, of which smaranam is one process. The yogi remembering the form of Vishnu within his heart. Thus, there were many devotees engaged in meditation on Lord Vishnu under the big banyan tree. Paragraph. The Sanskrit word maha is derived from the affix mahat. This affix is used when there is a great number or quantity. So maha yoga indicates that there were many great yogis and devotees meditating on the form of Lord Vishnu. Generally, such meditators are desirous of liberation from material bondage, and they are promoted to the spiritual world, to one of the Vaikunthas. Liberation means freedom from material bondage or nescience. In the material world, we are suffering life after life because of our bodily identification. And liberation is freedom from that miserable condition of life. Mahavishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namni Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharya. We were hearing about the pleasures of the heavenly planets. And the distinction between the heavenly realm and the spiritual realm. Now we're entering into yet a different, very special, somewhere in between place where Lord Shiva is residing or is engaged in his meditation. The opulence is astounding. The ghats going into the river and the staircases are made of gems by Durya money. Prabhupada describes this in relation to Krishna's re-entering into Dwarka after leaving Hastinapur in the first canto and returns to Dwarka. The opulence of Dwarka is, in terms of this natural beauty, Prabhupada says there's no mention there of factories and business enterprises. That's considered opulence. Through that industrial enterprise, then people become wealthy, and with that wealth, Prabhupada comments, what do they do with that wealth? They create a natural setting, or they go live in a quiet place, or they create that nice parks, as in Dwarka. The opulence of the upper realms is this natural opulence, so we find pristine lakes filled with lotus flowers, and in that whole vicinity there's a huge banyan tree. I mean, has anyone seen a tree that's several miles, what to speak of, 800 miles tall? Just a little
800 miles tall
and 600 miles wide. I mean, when you're flying in an airplane, how many? It's like 3 miles. It's 30,000 feet. It's, how many miles?
6 miles.
Okay, 5-6 miles. 800 miles. Tree. So, mythology, right? So a little tribute to Sariputta. Not mythology, it's just dimension, and these are measurements of higher dimension. Measurements in the
higher realm, where Mahima and Anima, the dimensions are greater. It's not an exaggeration, it's the actual configuration of things. So how big Lord Shiva must have been also compared to the... So for a devotee, it's not, it's understandable, or it's something that's plausible by like duration of life and measurements of things in the higher realm. So we'll keep moving. And it describes that he was sitting under that great tree, and surrounding him were many great yogis. And those great yogis were fixing their minds upon the personality of Godhead. So Vaisheshika Prabhu led us through some exercises of smaranam, thinking of ways to fix the instructions of the scripture, fixing the mind upon the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada makes the point in the purport, there's yoga and there's mahayoga. There's fixing the mind upon the Supreme Lord, and there's devotional service, where devotional service is also fixing the mind upon the Supreme Lord. And people that are being introduced to Krishna consciousness these days especially will, I've been asked many times, in your practice, is there some type of meditation? Of course, they're meaning some type of meditation as in the silent meditation type of meditation, like silent meditation. But our process is a process of manmana. So we can say, yes, we have mantra meditation. They can perhaps relate to that. But beyond just saying, just to go a little more deeply in what Prabhupada is expressing here, there's all processes, he's taught us again and again, all processes of yoga involve fixing the mind. Say it conversely, there's no question of yoga, there's no question of linking with the Supreme without fixing the mind. Every process of yoga has some means of fixing the mind, whether it's mechanical or efforts for detachment, even impersonal, there's some notion of how to fix the mind. Of course, the mind is very flickering, chanchala, and balad, very strong. It's very difficult to fix the mind. There's a... I want to spend some time in this morning's class just discussing that process of meditation that's discussed in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Those of you that know the format of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the journeyer, the sojourner, is this second part is Gopu Kumar, and his search is for the object of the mantra that he received. From Jana Sharma, the spiritual master who he met in Vrindavan, he gave him a mantra, and his life is surrendered to, surrounded by, driven by the desire to see the object, see the deity of his mantra. And one of the places that he goes to in the course of the pursuit of this goal, he goes to Tapaloka. And there's some discussion in Tapaloka by the residents of Tapaloka, who there, Tapaloka is a place, so Bhurloka, Bhuvarloka, Svargaloka, Paraloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka. It's just below Brahmaloka. It's way up there. And the eligibility for entering into Tapaloka is brahmacharis only, lifelong celibacy, and everybody in Tapaloka is engaged in primarily two things. Primarily one thing, but another second thing. They're meditation fans. They're more than fans. They're absorbed in meditation. And when they're not meditating, they're discussing at a very high level philosophical topics. Nice things for brahmacharis to do. Just control their senses, meditate, and when active, discuss very elevated philosophical topics. The personalities that are found there are many, but the two categories that are specifically mentioned is the four Kumaras and the Piplamayana Rishi and the Navayogendras. The Navayogendras are the same personalities that are described in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the personalities who are having the discussion with Maharaj Nimi. And those Navayogendras, they're of the 100 sons of Bharat who became perfected. Rishabdev, who became perfected souls, and that's their activity. They're very much engaged in meditation. So there's an expanded section in Brihad Bhagavatamrita where Piplayana Rishi sits this nice boy down, Gopal Kumar, and says, "Why are you going to so much trouble to find the deity of your mantra when all of us residents here were constantly seeing that form within our minds? So why are you looking to see with your eyes? Just stay here and you'll see within your mind." Then he gives this very interesting argument. It sounds interesting, at least. It's not what our teachings are, but it's the view of those who are meditators. The argument is that seeing is not with the eyes. Real seeing is within the mind. It's a subtle argument, but it's a subtle process that they're engaged in. He said the first act of seeing is within the mind. The object registers within the mind, and then it sends the signal to the eyes, now you are seeing something. So you're searching and searching and searching and searching to see with your eyes, but just try this process. You can see within your mind. When we're sitting here, completely, because when he first got there, he couldn't get anybody to respond, like, "Where am I, and who are you people?" And they were engaged in meditation. They were not responding at all. And then when they completed their meditation and to engage in philosophical talks, then he was able to get a response. You're searching for your deity, for your Lord, Madan Gopal. We're seeing him all the time. So he, Gopal Kumar, tries it out. He does meditation with them for some time, and he's seeing Madan Gopal within his mind. But he's not satisfied. He's got this problem. He's not satisfied. He keeps going to the next thing, going to the next thing. So later, after leaving Tapaloka, then going to Brahmaloka, then going to beyond the layers of the universe into the Paraviyam, into the spiritual sky, and sees the impersonal, he sees the impersonal feature of the Supreme. And fearfully, he feels he's being, just being drawn into that impersonal feature, and he backs away, and that feature disappears. Then it comes again, goes and comes. He meets the residents of Vaikuntha. Vaikunthavasis. And the Vaikunthavasis invite him to go to Vaikuntha. Why don't you go to Vaikuntha? There you want to see Madan Gopal. You'll find the Lord in Vaikuntha. And they have this, there's a long section in Brihad Bhagavatamrita about, what I'm trying to do here is cover the difference between a meditator fixing the mind upon, even as a meditator fixing the mind upon Vishnu, and a devotee who fixes their mind upon the personality of Godhead, but also engages in his devotional service. And why is that superior? Why is that Mahayoga? Why is that distinction being made by Prabhupada in this purport, by Vyasadeva in the text? And Brihad Bhagavatamrita has this expanded, very, if you ever have to meet, if you ever have an encounter with somebody that's a yoga, a meditation fan, and they're even like satisfied in what they're doing, but they're asking the question, what's the difference between what you're doing and what we're doing? Brihad Bhagavatamrita gives this beautiful explanation, and it's long. And in my discussion with other devotees, Keshava Bharati Maharaj and Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, who have read Brihad Bhagavatamrita extensively, the reason it's long, there's a reason it's long, our discussions went, because it's a subtle thing, and although the destination may be quite different, for those who are engaged in meditation, they, to some degree, feel some satisfaction, a spiritual satisfaction, a spiritual happiness. And that spiritual happiness continues them on in that process and makes them not so much want to look at something else. I want to read, first I'll paraphrase, and then I'll read a little bit what Sanatana Goswami writes here. The Vaikunthavasis are complimenting Gopu Kumar. You get an A in your exam. You met with the residents of Tapaloka. They tried to persuade you to just engage in meditation without devotional service, but you continued. And we want to compliment you for that. And now we'd like to explain, like, you know, give you a little antidote for why meditation is, in and of itself alone, just manmana, not sufficient. The bhava madbhakta also has to be there. And madhyaji mam namaskuru must also be there following. And they make many points. In the commentary, point by point that Pippalayana Rishi made, the Vaikunthavasis counteract or give the explanation, a defeat of Pippalayana's Rishi. Why is it that we as devotees don't just meditate? Why do we engage in devotional service? I'm just going to cover part of it. It's a very wonderful description of the two of the main points. Are one, that when we engage in devotional service, the senses become purified, because in devotional service the senses are engaged. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. Senses are engaged in the service of Rishikesha, and in that way the senses become purified. And so simultaneously the senses don't draw us away from devotional service, but rather on the positive side they permit us to experience Krishna through the medium of devotional service, which is what senses are meant for in the remedial process of taking birth in this material world, to encounter Krishna, to experience Krishna directly through the senses. And the second, so they're saying this, the perceiving of Madan Gopal that you're looking for, in fact, can happen directly through your senses as well as through your mind in the purified state. You can experience Krishna on your tongue. You can experience Krishna in your ear. You can experience Krishna in your eyes and taste. The senses can be fully engaged in a purified state and experience Krishna directly. And again, it doesn't draw you away. And the other point that I'm going to cover is that the happiness, souls are seeking happiness because we're constitutionally part and parcel of the Supreme, who is Anandamayo Vyasat. And so the completeness of happiness is found in our direct relationship in through the medium of serving the Supreme. That's what souls in their healthy state do. They're not just neutrally seeing, but they're positively engaging in relationships of love. And so the happiness is so abundantly strong, there's no question of departing from devotional service. Endlessly, and ever increasingly attractive. So their argument is, devotional service is vastly superior to the process of meditation. That's maybe a simple way of appreciating what Sanatana Goswami is writing. The way he writes it is far more exquisite. So I'd like to read it. This is from Chapter 3 of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Part 4. I'm reading just four or five texts. It starts with 173. The Vaikuntha agents, residents of Vaikuntha, are speaking to Gopu Kumar. By the power of bhakti, you will have many realizations, time and again, and for certain, you will conquer your most formidable obstacles in all circumstances. Be assured, we are your helpers. You're not alone. That's another big feature of bhakti. The greatest mercy of Sri Krishna Chandra, we have found, is firmly established in you. Because even the arguments of the residents of Tapaloka could not dissolve your eagerness to see in person the Supreme Lord. The form of the personality of Godhead, absolutely real, is the concentrated essence of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So they're addressing one of the arguments of the first of Vipalayana Rishi's arguments. His argument appears that the form of the Lord that one sees within the mind is something other than the form of the Lord. It's a reflection of the form of the Lord upon the mind. Whereas in devotional service, one can see the form of the Lord, not just what's in the mind. So it's absolutely real. Only with senses that are fit can one perceive that Satchit Ananda form. Yet, by the power of the Lord's mercy, even with the present eyes, quickly one can see it, the form of the Lord. Thus one beholds the object most suitable for one's vision, one achieves this by the Lord's mercy, or even by one's own endeavor. Purport it indicates. I'll read. This verse and the next summarize the opinions of Vipalayana Rishi. Huantapaloka had recommended meditation on Tukoko Kumar as the best method for realizing the Supreme Lord. Only with senses that are fit can one perceive the Lord, he had said. But the Lord's mercy can transform the limited senses of the conditioned soul, making them fit to perceive the unlimited by the Lord's mercy. Karunya Shakti. So the Vaikunthavasis are saying, you, Gopal Kumar, you're not in the mature stage yet, but we can see that you have this Karunya Shakti. You have received the mercy of the Lord. And what is the manifestation of that mercy of the Lord they pointed to? He has faith. He has faith. In the one of the songs that Vaisheshika didn't sing, another Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, is this very, very nice song where he's, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing that Lord Chaitanya mandates to Lord Nityananda to spread the holy name. So Lord Nityananda decides he'll open a marketplace for selling the holy name, and he gives franchises to people. You can open a store too. And the arrangement is you have to sell it for a price. You have to sell the holy name for a price. And what's that price? Faith. Faith. Just even a little faith. And Lord Nityananda will give the pure holy name. Just a little faith. More faith, more faith. So a symptom that one has received mercy is they have faith in the gift that has been given to them, faith in the holy name. And that certainly requires faith in the giver of that gift, Lord Nityananda. He's not going to, the merchant isn't going to cheat me. It's the real goods. And the real goods is not different than Krishna. Although I don't have that realization yet, Gopal Kumar doesn't have that realization yet. He's getting this nice training from the Vaikunthavasis. You have this Karunya Shakti. You have this full mercy of the Lord. Now we want to nurture that faith up to the level of entering Vaikuntha. And they're reassuring them. It's very easy. Because you have that faith. When you enter Vaikuntha, by continuing with this nurtured faith, you'll see the form of the Lord directly. Not just like what you did in Tapaloka, seeing within your mind. Next verse. Even though one's vision of the Lord has its own origin in the eye of knowledge, one may think, I am seeing him with my own two eyes. This simply indicates the power of Krishna's mercy by which the devotee feels his own special joy unfurl. In the purport it explains, one of the arguments of Pippalayana Rishi is what we do here in Tapaloka is we have philosophical discussions along with our meditation because we have to perfectly know what is the object that we're meditating upon, distinct from temporal things. You know, distinguishing matter from spirit. So devotees have to be able to distinguish matter from spirit. But what's the so his Pippalayana Rishi's argument? The argument of meditators is you have to have this strong acumen to discern matter from spirit and fix your mind on spirit. You can get there. See that form of the Lord. And they would argue that the form of the Lord, as Gopal Kumara wants to see, is material. But the spiritual is something more subtle than a form. That's their argument. That's why you have to sit in meditation. Our argument is, no, that form of the Lord is Satchit Ananda Vigraha, all spirit. It's all spirit. And by purification of the senses, even the senses are blunt, material. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Napavedra Indriya Seva Mukhihi Jivada Svayamevas Paratida. One can perceive the Supreme Lord through purified senses, starting with controlling the tongue. So that this mantra vibration in Harinam Chintamani, the Acharya for the chanting of the holy name, Haridas Thakur, describes that to be effective, to get the full benefit of the chanting of the holy name, he says something similar. Proper sambandha gyan must be there. So, Prabhupada didn't engage us, and we don't engage other people just in chanting, because if there's just chanting, in the process of just chanting, there's contact with Krishna, but what's the conception that people have of what is Krishna? Let me shock a few of you just for a moment. And one person, a contemporary, relatively contemporary person who was very famous for constantly chanting Ram's name, was Mahatma Gandhi. Yes? And he said, well, even when he was shot, he chanted Ram's name. So one would think, he went back to Godhead. But when he was chanting Ram's name, what was he thinking? What was that conception that he had? He didn't attend Prabhupada's Bhagavatam class. He didn't have the proper training. His idea of who is Ram and who is Krishna, just make it short, it's impersonal. If somebody would like, I could send them some research that Bhakti Vikas Maharaj did about what, you know, what are direct sayings of Mahatma Gandhi. You know, he wrote many books. One of them was the religious philosophy of Mahatma Gandhi. And in that religious philosophy of Mahatma Gandhi, was Ram the son of Dasarath and the husband of Sita? The answer is no. Who was Ram? Ram's a force. And I personally read his commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Krishna didn't exist. The Kurukshetra battle never happened. Krishna did not induce Arjuna to fight. And if I have to accept those three things in order to be a Hindu, I give up my Hinduism. Well, then who is Krishna? Krishna is blah, 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 blah. My jaw dropped. I put the book back on the shelf and said, all right, Paul. my image of Gandhi as you know, a modern saint just got deflated. He's not, well, in some aspect, he had his mind fixed on, he was, you know, as a meditator or as a believer in whatever he thought Bhagavad Gita said. He had great faith, but a misconception. So, faith has to be joined with proper conception. Otherwise, the fullness of what the holy name has to offer will not be experienced by the individual. Or some proper sambandha gyan must be combined with the, as they say in Canada, process. So, that's why I'm taking some time to go over this discussion in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. If one has that proper understanding and with faith chants the holy name, then that receiving of Krishna's mercy awakens and unfurls in the language of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, by which the devotee feels his own joy unfurl. What is that own joy? What is our own joy? Our own joy is our relationship with Krishna, like the spark back in the fire. fullness of that intensity, capacity of the spark is experienced in relation to the fire. It's not just meditate upon that which is, it's a reflection. It's abstract. He goes on. These are the Vaikunthavasis speaking. By the force of the vast mercy of the Lord, or by the natural influence of devotional service, one can see Him. So even with limited eyes, one can achieve the constant vision one may have with the mind in meditation. And once again, that form that one sees is real. Like, you know, when we see the deity, because we're not purified. We may see what the scriptures say for us to not see. Don't see simply wood or stone or metal. I mean, that may be at the limit of our capacity, but if there's faith and we're joining that process of seeing the deity along with the chanting of the holy name with faith, then, as Prabhupada indicates, one day Krishna will speak with you and he will say, I am like this. Right? The deity installation of Rukmini Dwarkadish. Krishna will say, I am like this. If this were not so, by no means would one be able to see the self-effulgent Supreme Controller even within the mind. When the Lord is worshipped in any manner, He bestows intense happiness, for He is the embodiment of such happiness. And the purport is quoted that Raso Vai Saha verse from Taittiriya Upanishad. But the rest of it is, Rasam Hi Evayam Labdhavanti Bhavati. The Supreme Lord is Rasa Himself. When a living being obtains this rasa, he becomes blissful. This is their argument. The Vaikunthavasis are saying, engage in devotional service. Fix the mind upon the Supreme Lord, as you're doing with faith, chanting your mantra, but engage fully in service to Him. The senses will become purified. Through those purified senses, you'll experience Him. And when you experience Him, that is rasa, and your own joyfulness will be awakened through the medium of devotional service. One more little explanation. We everywhere find that by seeing the Lord with the eyes, one achieves His mercy in all its forms. And the most intense and excellent joy, indeed, to see Him is the goal of hearing. To see Him is the goal of hearing. But what He's stating here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in one of his commentaries. What's the goal? Of course, this could be answered in different ways, but what's the goal of devotional service? It's to see the Personality of Godhead face to face, more completely, to engage in His loving service in person. If you in person, He in person, you engage in His loving service, and surrounding Him are so many loving devotees. Engage in His loving service. Come to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world and serve Him lovingly. Seeing Him directly, engaging directly. So, by all such methods of devotional service, seeing the Lord in person is the true reward to be attained. That alone destroys illusion down to the root, so that pure love of God may flourish. So I'll end with this quote from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vidyante hridaya grantis chidyante sarva sangshaya shiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmanishvara. Drishta is seeing. Evatmanishvara. One sees the Lord as master. When one, by the process of hearing and chanting, when it's effectively taking place, the knot in the heart, that knot in the heart is the misidentification with the covering, gross and subtle coverings, what we're not, the illusion of material life. By hearing and chanting, that knot is cut, and thus all the misgivings, because the misgivings are tied to the knot of material affection, of material affinity, trying to be the enjoyer of the Lord's energy. When that knot is cut, the chain of karma is cut, and one sees the Lord. So what's being described here in Brihad Bhagavatamrita is simply an expansion of the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2. And when the demigods enter into that huge banyan tree and they see Lord Shiva, they see Lord Shiva surrounded by countless other souls, similarly engaged, but they're not just engaged in meditation, although it appears to be. Just like when devotees are engaged in dancing or working or eating or whatever things devotees, the force of the message of devotional service is that each thing is to directly contact Krishna in a mood of loving service. So these persons that are engaged apparently just in meditation, they're not just meditators, they're not residents of Tapaloka. They're pure devotees. They're pure devotees. And they're experiencing Krishna directly in their meditation, in their activity. Later on, when Gopal Kumar goes to Vaikuntha, he is amazed. He sees the four Kumaras and says, I've seen you somewhere before. Didn't I see you in Tapaloka? They said, oh yes, we were there just giving some association. We belong here. We were just on Sankirtan, you know, giving them some association. They like meditation, so we're meditating. They like discussing topics, we're discussing topics. But we're Vaikuntha Vasis. And what makes them Vaikuntha Vasis? What makes us Vaikuntha Vasis, or candidates for Vaikuntha, as is Gopal Kumar? It's this faith, and connecting that faith to the proper conception, and very carefully engaging in the activities of bhakti, and that will carry us to Vaikuntha. In the language of the Bhagavatam, very quickly. Now, very quickly doesn't mean, you know, by our time scale, we snap our fingers and they were there. But quickly compared to the other processes of searching for the Supreme. I'll just share this one little anecdote that came to my attention. Satchinandan Swami conducts for the past many years, has been conducting a japa retreat just after Kartik, and one in Govardhan and one in Varsana. He missed the one in Varsana because his health was bad, but he made the one in Govardhan. And little experience happened during that Govardhan retreat. As they were, you know, just Hare Krishna devotees from Europe and, you know, his people that he's in contact with, were by Govardhan having a japa retreat. And along into their assembly comes a yogini, a woman who's been a meditator, connects with our little story here, Bhagavatam. And for 40 years, she entered it with all of her possessions on the end of a little stick. That was like her home, everything that she had. And she lived by eating roots and, you know, whatever little madhukari people would provide for her. And she just lived very, very simply and completely depending upon the mercy of the Lord, and was engaged in meditation, you know, for years and years and 40 years of living like that. I didn't hear the description of her age, but let's guess she's in her 60s. And she came into the assembly of the devotees, and she didn't just like hang out and look at everybody. She engaged in all the activities that everybody else was engaged in. And she was, you know, during kirtan, she was crying. And during japa, she was totally absorbed. She stayed for the whole japa retreat. It wasn't just because she wanted some prasadam. She stayed because her heart was changing. And Satchinandan Swami shared that she expressed that during that period of 40 years of that kind of meditation lifestyle, she felt an increasing feeling of despondency. The words were not exactly that her heart had become hard, but something like that. And just she felt she was drying up, and felt a disconnection with the very source of happiness and joy that she thought that she would encounter. But when she came in the association of the holy name, and the devotees were tasting the holy name, it was like a flood of nectar came into her heart. She used some phrase which I can't remember. So, you know, the sweetness of Krishna's charm or something like that. And, you know, for someone that's been a meditator, impersonal meditator for 40 years, that's quite an expression. It sounds like a devotee, but, you know, she wasn't. But that was her experience. And she was profusely thanking the devotees for that, like being brought back to a position of being alive from a position of like a leaf on a branch that was just moving in the wind and was about to fall off. So as we continue with this section of the Bhagavatam, we hear about the meditators surrounding Lord Shiva. We should bear in mind Lord Shiva is a pure devotee. And the process that he was engaged in as the process that we're engaged in, namely the process of chanting the holy name, chanting our mantra, and hearing the topics of Krishna, when just as Vaisheshika put it so beautifully yesterday, when these two are combined, it so much nurtures the hankering of the soul, this inner hankering of the soul to be with Krishna. And we can feel it. You can feel that connection. It feels surcharged. The Bhagavatam, when heard in the proper manner, carries us directly into that realm, combined with the process of devotional service, taking that message and carrying it with us, living with the message of the Bhagavatam and the holy name. It does what it says it'll do. It completely cleanses the senses and allows us to see the presence of Krishna everywhere, more and more as we become pure and attached to Krishna through this medium of hearing and chanting. Hare Krishna. So, any discussion? Yes?
Maharaj, you mentioned about Mahatma Gandhi, and Prabhupada also talks about Mahatma Gandhi. I have heard it in many conversations. The Prabhupada said that Mahatma that Mahatma has to be a devotee of the Lord. Cannot be just anybody cannot be named as Mahatma. Mahatma means devotee. So why is that we show Bhagavad Mahatma Gandhi here in Bhagavad Gita? Is there any specific reason?
Why is the which?
Bhagavad Gita, at the back of it, we are endorsement to Mahatma Gandhi.
Let's ask Suhas. No, I think it's marketing.
You were there before my time.
I think it's marketing. I think it's marketing. people, you know, the other persons that also were great lovers of Bhagavad Gita, did they understand the message of Bhagavad Gita? They had some great appreciation, and in the estimation of worldly people, these are great people. You know, like, you know, the Beatles. It's marketing. Buy this Bhagavad Gita, even the Beatles, like, you know, chant. Yeah, yeah. George Harrison was a devotee, but people didn't know that. They just knew Beatles. A little Prabhupada story. It was in New York, in Prabhupada's quarters, one evening, when Sri Govinda had come from Chicago, he was the president of Chicago Temple at the time, to visit Prabhupada, and he had two missions. One mission was to invite Prabhupada to come to Chicago and speak at a big hall that he arranged a program in. He was like real excited because he thought that would get Prabhupada to come to Chicago. And I was surprised. Sri Govinda was super surprised. Prabhupada said, "How much money will they pay me?" Sri Govinda did a double take and said, "But Prabhupada, you said one who speaks for some payment, then that's business and one shouldn't speak for payment." And Prabhupada immediately said, "In your country, if someone speaks for nothing, people don't take it seriously. How much will they pay me?" And he said, "Well, I'm sure I can arrange something, Prabhupada." He said, "Very well, let me know, then I'll consider coming." That was, you know, a U-turn for Sri Govinda number one. And then the second one was, he had an issue with, and he used by name, Mudra Prakriti, he said, some devotees in Los Angeles, and then Prabhupada said, "Who?" Then he gave the name. They made buttons. And the buttons didn't say anything, just had a picture of a green apple, like the logo of Apple Records, when they're selling the Krishna books. Makes it appear that they're sales representatives of Apple Records. So Prabhupada's first question was, "In your country, is this legal or illegal?" That was his first question. And it was legal because Sri Govinda said, "Well, as far as I know, it's legal because they're not saying. It's just a logo, and they got a logo. They're wearing the logo button. But it makes people think that. It's misleading." And then Prabhupada's reply was, "There's no harm." You know, later on he might have said something different, but at that time he said, "There's no harm." You know, they're encouraging people to take the book. So there's Mahatma Gandhi, and there's Thoreau and Emerson, and people that we may not say, you know, go to the feet of Thoreau and Emerson and accept whatever they say is parampara, their message of their understanding of Bhagavad Gita. So that's my answer to one possible response. Prabhupada said many complimentary things about Gandhi. Certainly. Yes, a girl. It's said in Gaudiya Vaishnavism there are two topics that are very subtle and intricate. Shiva Tattva and Guru Tattva. How much confusion at times the Guru Tattva topic brings into our society. Now you want another one. The position of Lord Shiva in the Vaikuntha realm, Sadashiva, is an expansion of Vishnu. And therefore we say Advaitacharya in Vishnu Tattva. He's that manifestation of Lord Shiva. in the spiritual world. But then it gets all kinds of, you know, expansions and expansions and reflections of expansions and, you know, functions. Their function is to serve the Supreme Lord. And they do so in different capacities, and therefore they have different regions of existence. Some in the lower planetary regions, some in the heavenly planetary regions, some in this Shivaloka region that's not even yet in the Sadashiva region. He's like everywhere. But it's they're expansions of him for different functions. Like Shambhu, we heard by Sheshika say yesterday. Shambhu is the glance, or Shambhu carries the glance of Vishnu. So Vishnu never directly contacts Maya, but the glance contacts Maya, and that glance is Shambhu. So that's the dahi, the milk transformed in contact with tamarind or souring agent becomes dahi. That's one of the many features of Lord Shiva, or manifestations of Lord Shiva. So it's something like the elephant, you know, the trunk of the elephant, and the tail of the elephant, the leg of the elephant, the ear of the elephant. He has many manifestations, but Shiva Tattva is very broad, and so one should be careful and clear when one is speaking about Lord Shiva, especially when it gets into some, you know, particularly in relation to Lord Vishnu, which aspect or feature of Lord Shiva are we speaking about? He's diverse. But his mood is to serve the Supreme Lord. Yes?
Is Gandhi's chanting of Brahma an offensive chant? Or to generalize, there are different people who chant names of Brahma and Krishna.
Well, it's certainly not Shudanam. And whether it falls into the category of Nam Aparad or Nam Abbas, I would tend to think it's Nam Abbas, simply misguided. I'd like to reserve judgment on that. I think it's dependent on a number of things. Yes?
It seems like sometimes there are two ways of looking at devotional service. One is we want to see Krishna with our eyes, and the other way is we want to act in the way that Krishna sees us.
Or will want to see us.
So is there a balance of the two, or recommend that one is more appropriate approach?
I personally, I don't see that they're mutually exclusive at all. If we want to see Krishna, the hankering, that hankering can be the hankering of, I want to become qualified so that Krishna will want to see me, because when Krishna gives the fullness of his mercy, then I can see Krishna. Yeah, they're not mutually exclusive, because it's on the spiritual platform. The mood of service is certainly the eligibility for seeing Krishna. And the mood of service is whether, you know, not that I want to be noticed, because the other could also, I want to be noticed by Krishna. That could be also something that's not so fully pure. But to please Krishna, that way Krishna will want to see. Krishna will give the fullness of his mercy. The eagerness for the mercy of Krishna is the balance. That eagerness for the mercy of Krishna is the, in fullness. That's directly stated here in the verses of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's certainly the mood of Gopal Kumar. He wants to see Lala Gopal. And because of that desire to see Madan Gopal, it protects him from so many other things that one can live for lifetimes and lifetimes. As he passes over those lifetimes and lifetimes of misdirection, wasting of time, then come to that stage of complete happiness. When he needs Madan Gopal, it's overwhelming. And there's other happinesses along the way, but there's not a happiness that compares to that happiness. So that may look like also something selfish. Oh, I want happiness. But it's natural. But what's the complete sense of happiness is service. Being connected with Krishna in service. Yes. He has the same body. He has the same youthful form.
Yeah, it's the same person with the same rasa and mood of our Krishna. But he traveled from different planets.
But through the passage of many lifetimes. I've not received that understanding from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Anyone else who has read Brihad Bhagavatamrita? Yes. Same lifetime, to my understanding. And ask those who have. I'll write to Gopi Pranadatta and ask him that question. That same lifetime, that's my understanding. Yes. Meaning Krishna versus Madan Gopal, or why about time? Yes. Well, you've answered. You're supporting everything that I was saying during class. That his seeing in meditation was not the same as being with Madan Gopal in person. And seeing with his senses and embracing, touching his body and so forth. Fully purified senses and a spiritual body. Because when he entered into, when he left, he felt that the realm of, before entering into the layers of the universe, he felt his body, his spiritual body was emerging. Although, look, you know, Gopal Kumar, so it's not the same. Meditation alone is not the same as in devotion. That fixing of the mind upon Supreme in devotion. Well, Gopal Kumar manifested a spiritual body. That is described. But we require that either spiritualized senses or a fully spiritual body. In this case, it was a spiritual body to see the Supreme Lord and be in His presence in Goloka. No matter, no dirty love. spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.